Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Bumper to Bumper. My name is Jamil Ismail and the time is just 12 minutes past 7. With me in studio is Ziad. Ziad, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Jamil.
So, just so you know, we both in studio. Ziad forced me to brave the Johannesburg traffic to be here, which was absolutely ridiculous, by the way. From Marlboro all the way to the off-ramp here, it's Xavier, right?
Yes.
It was hectic.
Is it?
Yeah. Did you not
see it? So you got a taste of what I get every week when I come up to Pretoria.
Is that so?
That was a taste, though.
Yeah.
Because the Pretoria traffic is a lot worse.
Yeah, actually, you know what?
With the weather as well.
Yeah, I did see that, like, obviously the opposite way is more hectic. But, I got a small taste of it.
Okay.
Needless to say, as much as I really enjoy seeing Brother Lucky's face, I'm not going to be doing this very often, eh?
Okay.
Yeah, don't get used to this yet, please.
But how are you, Brother Jamil?
I'm doing really well. I brought a special guest with me. I think this was unplanned, eh?
Okay.
The CII studios looks like a playground. I've got my daughter Ziad here, his son, and they are having the time of their lives here. Lucky is babysitting.
Well, they're having a mini bumper-to-bumper show outside.
They are.
So last week, Brother Jamil decided to ditch us, as everyone knows, and he went for work. He went to Cape Town to see the launch of the Mercedes-Benz GLC Coupe. Tell us, Brother Jamil, how was your trip?
And so yes, that is correct. It was work. We flew to Cape Town. And how you know it's work, like there's no denying this, is that we flew from Cape Town back the same day. So it was early morning flight, late night flight back. And yeah, we got to see the GLC Coupe. It's a newly launched SUV in Mercedes-Benz lineup of SUVs. The GLE Coupe is being launched this week. But firstly, just about the GLC, that has always been my favorite SUV from Mercedes-Benz. I think it's the best looking proportionately. It's like a very neat looking vehicle. It's a nice looking vehicle. And obviously, I mean, you know, trends are going like, Everyone wants a coupe SUV, you know. And, you know, dare I say, Mercedes-Benz actually made it look prettier. So GLC in the front, sloping roofline in the back. That's basically the new GLC coupe. In terms of the interior, I mean, you know, Mercedes-Benz, you can't fault them. From the smallest car to the biggest, you know, inside it's really good quality materials. You're greeted by exceptionally large screens. And it's just a nice place to be. And Mercedes-Benz ambient lighting, it can be 12 o'clock in the day, you'll still see that ambient lighting work, which is amazing. It's really stunning. And then in terms of engines, there's only two. They're both diesels.
Okay.
It's a 220 diesel and a 300 diesel. And the crazy part is...
But they're both 2-liter engines.
Are they 2 liters? I know they're both...
I don't know. I wasn't there. You were there.
Listen, I know that they both are using the same engine, but it's like tuned differently.
Right.
And what's crazy about the two... is that there's a 55,000 rand difference.
Okay.
And if I tell you the difference that you feel, the 300 is definitely the one you should go for, because there's also a very minor change in fuel consumption. It's, I think, rated. The 220 diesel is 5.1 to 5.8 liters per 100, right? And that does 145 kilowatts. The GLC 300D is 5.5 to 6.1. I mean, it's so negligible. Obviously, with that sort of... call it consumption based on driver style, you could bring it down, right? And what's crazy, you jump all the way from 145 kilowatts to 198, and when I tell you, you feel a massive difference. Like, the 300 is such a beautiful car to drive. And what's really crazy is, if you get onto it, like if you put your foot down, it doesn't sound like a diesel at all. It's just really smooth. In terms of gearbox, you know, Mercedes-Benz always has that like slight delay compared to like if you're driving a Mercedes, I mean a BMW. I always find, especially in the performance vehicles, BMW changes are like very like snap, like, you know. Mercedes-Benz does have a slight delay in up and down, but I mean it's just so comfortable if you're not trying to do something, just like just driving. It's a really nice drive. But again, for 55,000 and more, the 300D is the one to get.
Okay. Are they both 4MATIC?
I think they both are, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then in terms of price range, what are we looking at?
Okay, so price range, 1.3, closer to the 1.4 mark, is the GLC 220 diesel, right? And then, like I said, for 55,000 and more, at 1,447,350, so 1.4 million basically, 1.5 million call it, is the 300D.
Okay.
So, again, 1.5 million for a GLC. So, like, remember how it works now. Like, Mercedes-Benz have kind of simplified it. The GLC is the SUV version of the C-Class, the GLE, E-Class, and that's basically how you'd follow along. So, I don't know, maybe it's an age thing, but I always found, like, this GLC to be like a really nice vehicle. And in the older models, the AMGs are just brutal, like absolutely stunning cars to drive.
So this competes with the X4?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, that is. And I mean, if you look at price-wise, it's not out.
Okay. And then in terms of, you said there's a whole lot of, there's like obviously new tech. So they've brought it over from the C-Class or from the GLC directly?
Yeah, so it's, I think in terms of the rest of the car, it's still the GLC, and most of the changes have been the cosmetic, basically just to kind of force the car into, okay, maybe force is the wrong word, but to get the car to align with a coupe version of the SUV.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, right, I'm going to double check this, but I think an AMG line is standard trim now.
On the GLC coupe. Mm. Okay.
Which is quite cool.
So it's included in that 1.5 million?
Yes, I think so. That's what I'm just going to double check it. It's a big one. Let me double check.
So the ground clearance on the GLC coupe is exactly the same as the GLC?
Yeah. So it's just the roof line. And if you look at it from, like, call it a Mercedes-Benz point of view, it makes sense because you're keeping costs low. And imagine now, like, you know, redoing the suspension on a vehicle that's a sub-segment. It's not even a full segment. So that would make sense. And also, I think the fact that they have two really good engines. And when I say the 300 is the one to take, I don't think anyone who purchases a 200 would be, or 220 rather, would be unhappy with their vehicle. It's just that for that 55,000 rand difference. And when you're looking at a vehicle at 1.5 million, 55,000 rand is nothing.
Yeah.
So if you are, I would... This is my personal opinion, would strongly, strongly suggest the 300. It feels amazing. Like, you put your foot down and it's gone.
So this is also a mild hybrid then?
Yeah, so it's a mild hybrid technology. But, you know, it's the type of mild hybrid that you'd find in, for example, the Gran Vitara, where there's like certain components that are being run by the hybrid system.
So it doesn't help the fuel consumption?
No, I mean...
And the power of...
So if you look at it, it's not like when we say hybrid is in a battery setup. It's more that this hybrid system runs certain components. And if I'm not mistaken, one of the components it runs is actually something that has to do with the turbo, but I don't think it's going to do anything in terms of performance.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of luggage capacity?
So, look, that is where you pay a little bit of the price for that sloping roof. It does seem like, I don't know if you know, but even on an X4, it's almost as if the boot is like a shelf or like a tray.
Yeah,
it's like very flat. It's not very deep.
But it's deep inwards.
It's deep inwards. But the thing with it being deep that way is you can't really stack anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But is it the same for the GLC coupe though?
So the GLC.
Or do they shave off a bit of the?
It did feel, or like visually, it looked a little, a little lacking, right? But I guess it's the price you pay for that roofline.
Okay. And then I know that there was something else that was launched in Cape Town as well while you were there that week at the V&A Waterfront.
What was that?
The Mercedes Benz.
Yes. So Mercedes Benz launched a. It's called the Mercedes Benz VNA Lounge, right? It's an exclusive lounge for Mercedes Benz customers. It kind of works as like a concierge service. And, you know, it's just one of those things where Mercedes-Benz really, like, it's a premium product and they want their clients to feel premium. So you go in there, let's say your car goes for a service or whatever it is. You've got this lounge at your disposal. There's coffee. There's, like, I don't know if the food is there all the time, but it was really good. Then they have this, like, little Mercedes-Benz, I call it boutique section, where you can buy, like, Mercedes-Benz product. And, It's just a nice place to be. Like it's very convenient for the location, and you know there's free Wi-Fi. There's a place to just chill and do whatever you need to do. And that's the whole thing. Like behind Mercedes-Benz, like you know, it's Mercedes-Benz.
So is it attached to a dealership?
So do you know where Ferrari is at the V&A waterfront, Scuderia, yeah. Cape Town? It's directly opposite, which means it's next to the Mercedes-Benz.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are they planning to roll this out in other parts of the country, or is it specifically for that dealership?
So nowhere has it been mentioned, but I could definitely see this working in like a place like Sandton, for example. Sandton dealership is amazing. It's got the space. And, you know, it's just, if you are someone who's going to be outlaying that sort of money on a vehicle, You want this after-sales service, you want to be valued, and that's how people are retained as customers. And I think it's a really smart way for Mercedes-Benz to do it. I mean, anyone who's driving a Mercedes-Benz, I was driving an A200 a week ago. And even though that's literally the most affordable Mercedes-Benz out there, you can just tell the type of client that buys a vehicle like this, you know? And I think Mercedes-Benz have really hit the nail on the head with offering a service like this.
So you should have driven it to Cape Town and you should have gone for that service.
I'm not sure if Mercedes-Benz would have been too happy with me adding 1,200 kilometers to their vehicle in like 5 days.
So it's accessible to anybody. There's no like entrance fee. There's no like a membership or anything.
You obviously need to be
customer.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But you obviously have to take your car to that dealership.
Correct.
Okay. So there's no shuttles running from another
dealership
or anything.
No. But it's also, you know, like visually, it's an experience. That's the only way I could describe it. It's not like, you know, like a waiting area or something. It's an experience. You come in there, you're like greeted like very warmly. The decor and art around you is like very Mercedes-Benz inspired. But it's not like forcing it down your throat. Like it's not like, for example, you know, you walk into a place and there's a big logo. No, it's like these... It's like an artwork on the wall that's made up of like stars, but it's like stunning. It's absolutely stunning.
How big is the area? How big is the...
So it's not a very big area, but that kind of, you know, it shows you the exclusivity. But I mean, it's like a comfortable area. I don't know in terms of like meters or square meters. I'm not sure.
How many people can it seat? Can you have a party there? Birthday party.
Look, I'm pretty sure like 30 to 50 people would be pretty... Well, maybe that's a stretch, but yeah.
Okay, well, after the break, we will be talking to Christo Evangelou. He's from Infinite Drive. And then we'll be talking about your A200.
Live from Africa and to the rest of the world, this is CII Radio, independent, authentic, and dedicated to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. We have a special guest on the line, Christo Evangelou from Infinite Drive. Christo loves cars and bikes. He's an okay driver, but a great coach. He never settles for what will just do. Good evening, Christo. How are you this evening?
Good and you?
I'm good, thanks. Christo, just let us, the listeners, know about what is Infinite Drive. Who is Christo Evangelou and what is Infinite Drive?
No problem. Let me start with Infinite Drive. Essentially, what we do is all different kinds of advanced driver training. everything from defensive driving on the road, which is about keeping you as safe as possible, all the way up to the fun and exciting programs where we teach you on the racetrack. And we even do a little bit of drifting as well. So we do drifting, racetrack experiences, as well as the safety items, defensive driving, anti-hijack, and that sort of thing.
Okay.
And then...
Yes?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go for
no,
it.
Carry on.
Oh, okay. And then you asked about me. I fell into my passion. I found my passion for cars very late, only at about 19 years of age, when I crashed my first one coming down Santon Drive. And then I went and did an advanced driving course for myself. And it blew me away how much there was to learn about cars and what they do and how we can get the best from them. And from that point onwards, yeah, I was hooked. So finding a real job from that day onwards was difficult.
So you said you okay driver, but a great coach. And I had the opportunity to be part of your team, part of the Mazda Jinbei Thai driver training. I think it was about 2018.
If you can remember. I remember that. Yes.
Yes, yes. And you were quite a good coach. You have quite a big fleet now in your Infinite Drive fleet. Take us through the cars that you have there.
It's not where it needs to be yet. We're getting there slowly but surely. But what I've tried to do is have four different vehicles, and they're all the same theme. So you have, they're all sports cars, which means I've got two doors and very limited usability. They're not very practical cars. So we've got a Jaguar F-Type, which is the 3-liter V6 supercharged. We've got a Mustang GT. Then we've got a BMW M235i. It's an older model, so it's still rear-wheel drive, which is fantastic. And then for the track, we've got a purpose-built Nissan 350Z that the guys at Ace Customs Racing put together for us.
Okay.
And the beauty about them is each one is so different to the other one that you can't really compare them all. I mean, the Mustang, for example, in comparison to the German car, the BM, they're chalk and cheese. They really are. The way they deliver their power, the way they handle, very different cars. And yet, each one in its own right is very, very special.
So you actually answered my question, because I was going to ask you, which is your favorite out of them? And you've just said they're completely different, which they are, like you said.
It's hard to pick a favorite. If I had to pick one to live with every day, it might be the Mustang, just because, I don't rate the build quality, but when you drive it and you start that V8, it just gives you a very special vibe. And then you jump inside the Jaguar F-Type, for example, it's, in my opinion, one of the sexiest cars on the road, and you just drive like a nutcase everywhere, because it's a proper little sporty car. So it's hard to pick just one, but I don't know. Maybe I'd go for the Mustang.
Maybe the Mustang. I think so too. But we need to Jamil and I need to come in and we need to test the cars and then we'll pick our favorite.
That sounds like a deal.
Okay.
You see, so what we do is we also rent these cars out. I got tired of some of the bigger rental companies and what they charge and everything else. So I rent out the Jaguar, the BMW, and the Mustang. So what I can do for you guys is, why don't you guys try one, a different car each day, and then you can try and figure out which one you think is your favorite.
Okay, so this is the first time I'm saying something on this interview, but you have me hooked, eh? Like, I'm ready. And every vehicle that you mentioned is really special vehicles. Like you said, I mean, it's just such a different driving experience. I've driven, I think, all of them that you mentioned, but they all just have a different characteristic. And said like a true sports or a true car fanatic, it's not about build quality or it's just how the car makes you feel. And I keep on saying this on the show, like I can't, it's not about facts and figures, and it's just how the vehicle makes you feel. But I definitely feel you on the Mustang, eh?
Exactly. And I mean, it's strange. I was always with BMW for like 16, 17 years. Right. I love the BMs and that as well. But I find it difficult to pick just one brand.
Yes.
Because for me, cars, they're like ice cream. They all come in different flavors. And, I mean, you don't eat only one flavor of ice cream all the time.
And some of us have to take two different scoops at once. Like, you know, you can't commit to just one scoop.
Yeah, but I think it's also nice that you have that array, because us as a client or customer coming there, you know, we get to choose. Like you say, it's not only BMW, it's not only Ford. You know, we can pick and choose which one we want.
Correct.
So, Krista, just to, I don't know if this is as simple as the question sounds, but what does it cost to say, take the Jag out? I've got a wedding that I'd like to use the vehicle for, or something like, how does it work? Is it based on kilometers, daily rates, or what does it cost?
So it's a daily rate.
Okay.
If you take it for just one day, it's 4,000 rand for the day.
Okay.
I've got a 10 grand deposit, and I do ask, okay, so there's 200 kilometers of included mileage.
Okay.
I've been quite good. I haven't charged anyone for going over 200 kilometers or anything like that.
Okay.
It's just a bit of a deterrent. Like, don't drive the car to Cape Town. Well, if you do, speak to me first. We can make a plan.
Yes.
All right?
That's very reasonable.
And the idea is, I want you to take the car. I want you to enjoy the car. So for sure, do your wedding. But then the following morning, if it wasn't a particularly heavy night, go for a breakfast run.
Yeah.
Go and enjoy the car. And then we'll get it from you the following day.
Sure. That's very reasonable. I mean, and that price is across the range of vehicles that you have?
For the Mustang and the Jag, that's the same price.
Okay.
The 235 is less. That's 3 grand for the day.
Okay.
So your prices are quite competitive, Christo, and you know the rise in fuel and like costs like tires and whatever. How do you manage to keep your prices so competitive?
I'm not quite sure, but it doesn't hurt that I have got help from Michelin for the tires.
Oh, okay. And the fuel?
You see, no, that's all for my account.
Okay.
And look, fuel is what it is. It's going to keep going up. I'm trying to keep the prices as reasonable as possible, because I want people to experience cars like this so that they can understand how they're so addictive, how people can love cars. You see, and if you haven't experienced something special where you can't help but look back at the car after you've driven it, then how would you fall in love with the car if you don't experience something like this?
No, definitely. Christo, so you've got these wonderful performance cars. Jamil and I are ready to jump in them. But has there been, with the rise of EVs, has there been anybody asking you, are you going to add electric vehicles to your fleet? Are you planning on adding any to your fleet?
From the track side of things, I would love to add an EV going forward. The reason being is the way they deliver their performance is amazing. I've been privileged enough to experience the Audi e-trons, the BMW i-range of vehicles as well. And every single time you drive one, it simply blows your mind by how good they are. Range anxiety, many people are held back from going for an EV because they're worried about the range and that. But the moment you realize that it's a change in your lifestyle, you don't have to go to a petrol station anymore because you've got 400 plus kilometers worth of range. So what you do is once every few days, you just do these little top-ups wherever you are and you'll be fine. Most people don't need more than 400 kilometers worth of charge in a single day. And even if you do, there's quite a few fast charging stations around. So you pull in at a place, you charge up for 20, 30 minutes, and you've got more than half your battery life back inside the car. So I think EVs are exceptional. As far as renting out EVs, I can't do that yet, because the name of the company that does where we rent the cars through, that's called Sports Car Rental. And a sports car needs to have two doors. So if we get a two-door impractical EV locally, then I'd have to look at that.
Okay. In terms of insurance. When you take the car out onto a track, the insurance companies are obviously not happy because they know you're going to be driving it at top speeds. And, you know, I see you have a partnership with Track Angels Insurance Brokers. How does that work?
Correct. So with Track Angels, because it was so difficult finding insurance for vehicles to go out on the track, we started this little brokerage so that I can get into negotiations with the bigger companies and we can put together our own unique packages. And the greatest obstacle to overcome was to get the guys that have come on board to understand when we go on circuit, we're not teaching anyone how to be fast. What happens is speed is a byproduct of applying the correct techniques. And if you're applying the correct techniques, you're going to be safe. So the end result is, yes, we're going to be circulating at a good pace, safely. And then the other benefit is because there'll be a maximum of four cars on the track at any one time, we're not worried about traffic, lots of other cars on circuit. So it's a very, very controlled environment. And that's really what's given us the advantage there.
Sure. And Christo, tell me, which tracks do you conduct your workshops at, or can I choose which track I'd like to do it at?
So my primary circuit that I operate out of is Red Star Raceway there in Dalmas.
Yes.
The owners there, Dean and Diego, and Quinton is the manager there, they are exceptional. They really do look after you very, very nicely. And then there's another fun little circuit. This is where I would normally use a 350Z at. Is it's in Benoni, just off Snake Road, and it's called Formula K.
Yes, I know.
It's an international spec, Formula K level go-kart circuit.
Yes.
Nice and wide. The route that I use is just about on 2 kilometers long,
okay. And
it's epic. Ups and downs and 15 corners packed into that little 2 kilometer space. It is just so much fun.
That would definitely keep you on your toes. With regard to the vehicle rentals, I know Swartkops Raceway down in Pretoria West, they have a super tracks day where you can take a vehicle. Do you allow people to rent the vehicle and then use the vehicle on a track?
I do. The only TNC that applies there is that you need to take one of our instructors with you.
Okay. I mean, that's reasonable. Is that an extra charge or...?
Yes. So I don't charge you for a course. I charge you for the instructor.
Okay.
You see, and their job is obviously to keep you safe and keep the car safe.
Yes.
But at the same time, he or she is yours to use and abuse throughout the course of the day. So the idea is if you're already quite experienced, they're interested in seeing how they can get you better.
Yes.
You see. So we do have that as an option.
So how much would it cost to rent an instructor for the day?
$2,850. Okay, that.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Let me not be lazy. Normally, only companies have taken me up on this particular offer. Let me just quickly work it out. Okay. All right, so for the instructor, you'd be looking at R3,277.50.
Okay.
So and it may sound like a bit, but these are people with years of experience and are sitting in the car and they're taking the risk with you as well. So when you take all that into consideration, mm-hmm. it's not too bad.
No, definitely. And you know, the thing is, I think it's something that men suffer with the most. We all think we're the best drivers. But the first time where you actually go with an open mind to any one of these courses, like we've done a few, you just realize how little bit you know about everything. You know, this is not PlayStation anymore. It's real. It's real dangers. And besides that, I mean, it's just bettering your driving skill. And I always find that this makes such a good gift for someone who's close to you, obviously, you know, your husband, your brother, whatever, as a gift. It's just such a nice gift. To anyone who loves cars, it's such a thoughtful something.
I agree with you. And because it's motorsport, it's always going to be a little bit more expensive. But what I find is when you gift somebody an experience, that experience will last with them for a lifetime, literally. 20 years from now, they'd still be telling you about, oh, no, that one time when I was on the racetrack. I can still remember my first time I went on the racetrack.
Yes.
It blew my mind.
No, definitely. Crystal, this is where we're going to leave it, but thank you so much for such an amazing, insight into what you do. It's really nice for, people like you to make things like this accessible for ordinary people who just want to experience something a bit more exciting. And yeah, just myself and Ziad will definitely take you up on the offer.
And how do our listeners get in touch with you, Christo?
All right. So there's a few ways. Either they can get a hold of me via email. My email address is christo@infinitedrive.co.za. Alternatively, on Facebook, if they just do a search for Infinite Drive, it'll come up Infinite Drive Pty Limited. And then they'll see a picture of the cars and the racetrack. And then they can send me a message. And then normally what I do is I send out the different brochures. But because a lot of my programs are one-on-one, if somebody wants something specific, we'll tailor the program just for them.
That's lovely.
Otherwise, if people want, they're welcome to phone me. My cell phone number is 083-324-6021. And I'm always open to having a bit of a chat about cars. If they have any questions, give me a call.
Thank you very much, Christo, once again for sharing all that insight with us. And we wish you everything of the best.
No, thank you so much. And you guys must keep up. Thanks for inviting me on. The next time we do this, it'll be after you've driven a few cars, I'm sure. And then you can give me feedback.
No, definitely. Thank you very much, Christo. Have a lovely evening.
You too, guys. Have a wonderful time. Bye.
Thanks, Ed. Thank you. Bye.
So that was Christo Evangelou from Infinite Drive. So you can get in touch with him. He said on Facebook, he's given his number, his email address, and he's doing quite impressive things.
And it's nice because it's a very personalized service. I mean, how many business owners do you know that are willing to give out their personal phone number? I mean, this is really, you can see, he's passionate about what he does. And it's just, it's lucky. Let's go take the 235 first spin.
CII Radio, embracing Africa, one city at a time.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. If you missed the first two parts of the show, we spoke about the GLC Coupe, the launch of that, which Brother Jamil attended, and we spoke to Christo Evangelou from Infinite Drive. And now in the last lap of the show, we are talking all about the Mercedes-Benz A200. Brother Jamil was blown away by it. I was like astounded by it when I drove it. I threw out all the metrics that I normally calculate, which is fuel consumption. Brother Jamil, tell us your experience of the Mercedes-Benz A200.
So as I said before, right, this is the cheapest and smallest offering from Mercedes-Benz. But I can't stress this enough. Like, Mercedes-Benz and cheap don't go in the same sentence. So everything is quality on this vehicle. The particular spec that I have was very sporty. So it had the AMG line. It had the stunning interior with, the Alcantara leather. So I actually felt it was a bit much based on the fact that, it's like spread across the door sills and everything. It looks really nice, but I can tell you now it's going to be difficult to look after that. But I guess that's someone else's problem because you're going to sell the car anyway. But really, it's such a nice vehicle. And even when I say it's the most affordable vehicle from Mercedes-Benz, it still starts at over the 800 range. And it's just a really nice vehicle. I think once it's specced and you start like getting into the vehicle itself, you're going to be very close to a million rand. And it's a good vehicle in terms of the way it looks. And I think what Mercedes-Benz have done, I think it's a younger clientele, so they like really stiffened up the suspension. It's a sporty drive, and you honestly don't need to have an A45 to enjoy it and just enjoy driving. And I think that's what the vehicle brought back. Because a lot of times when manufacturers are like downscaling and stuff, they make like a vehicle feel very bland. And I found it like you enjoy the drive. It's a sporty drive. It's engaging. The vehicle feels nice. And then I know why you're smiling. How amazing is the fuel consumption?
Well, like I said, I didn't test the fuel consumption. But even with not testing it, it was still good.
Okay.
But I like the fact that you said it was bland, not bland, because I felt the previous A, like 200s or A, what, 180s or whatever they were before, but they had A200s. They were just, you know, there. Mm. And this one, for some or other reason, didn't feel like just there. It felt like a completely different car. Obviously, the engine is co-developed by Renault.
Yes.
It's a 1.3-liter turbocharged.
People are shocked when they like find that out, but like, It doesn't mean that Mercedes-Benz has a Renault engine. Like, don't say, "Oh, I'd rather just buy a Clio." It's not that. No,
it's not even a quid engine. don't think that it is. It's a 1.3-liter turbocharged engine, right? It's producing what, 120
kilowatts. 120 kilowatts, which is sufficient. I mean, it's a nice amount. It's enough to overtake you. The car feels quite, call it spunky. Like when you take off, it's there, and it's.
And it handles very well.
Yes.
It sits on the road. It's like, it's very sporty.
I think the handling, like if you could describe it in one word, it would be sporty. Like it gives you confidence. Is it a front wheel drive?
It is a front wheel drive.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah. But it feels nice. It's like planted on the road.
No, it is.
And it's one of those cars, like, firstly, looks wise, for me personally, I know everyone keeps on, like, you know, saying it looks like, what is the backlights? Everyone keeps saying it looks like something. I couldn't remember what car it was. But I think it looks really nice.
Teardrop, are you talking about?
Yeah, and it's got like very like narrow.
Yeah.
Oh, they say it looks like a Mazda 3.
No, I don't think so.
I it does, unfortunately.
The Mazda 3 has those rounded tail lights, no?
So I think it's the shape before, which is the one with the...
I can't remember.
Okay, we'll put the two next to each other. Look, I'll still take the A-Class. And it has the most amazing panoramic sunroof, which takes up like the whole roof. What color was the one that you had?
I had the silver.
Okay, I had a white.
Okay.
It's just stunning, man. I really think it's a good-looking car.
It definitely. You know, every time I park that car...
Did you do the look back?
I did the look back.
Okay.
It's one of those cars that I wanted to keep, like, forever.
Sometimes,
like,
I look back, but just to see if I'm in the lines.
Like... It's just, it's a daily drive. It's got everything.
Look, it's sporty. It's practical. The boot size is not bad for a hatchback.
It's very good. I think it's like over 350 liters, if I'm not mistaken.
Really, for a hatchback, that's fair.
Yeah.
And did you jump into the back seat?
Yes.
There's like ample space.
There is.
Like anyone who's saying that, look, let me put it this way. For a hatchback, there's sufficient space.
No, it is. I also like that it's now, it's, you can say, we say that the C-Class is a mini S-Class. Mm. This is a mini C-Class, obviously with the hatch.
Yes.
But because they brought the all the new tech in there, they've got the ambient lighting, they've got this new screen. So it's obviously not as big as the C-Class, but it's got similar features.
Yes.
And I like that it's going in that same direction so that you feel like you still... driving, you know, a new Mercedes, not...
So for me, I haven't driven it yet, but just based on looks, right? Over a C-Class, at this point in my life, I would take an A-Class sedan. I love that car. I absolutely...
The A-Class sedan
is... I love it.
No, it is. And the A200D. Fuel efficiency.
I want to talk about it because that's how I'm going to... I want to ask him, please give me A200D next. Like, I really want to test that vehicle. So can we please not talk about it?
So when you get it,
okay,
then we'll discuss that. But definitely the A200, I would take over even a GTI 8. I said it.
Really?
I would.
Okay.
Definitely.
Actually, you know what? Same. I know it's not as fast and whatever, but yes. I
think it's got everything in. It's not out there, you know. Like, it's conservative, like me. It's, but you have that vroom in it.
Yes, like you.
Yeah.
On that note, I think Lucky, it's 8 o'clock. which means it's time to leave. But seriously, from me, a rating if you want. I'm scoring the 8100 a 9 out of 10. I don't know where it lost 1 point. I don't know.
We didn't get to keep it. That's where it lost the 1 point.
Yes, definitely. But from myself in Ziad, it's been a fun show. I'm liking these, but I'm not driving again. Just so you know, lucky. No, it's been a fun show. Thank you so much. We learned a lot today.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
We learned that we are going to be testing the 350Z, the F-Type. And
yes, I think that was your takeaway from this whole thing.
Yes.
But yeah, well, what do we have in store for next week? Do we have anything exciting?
Let's see what next week holds.
Okay. Okay. So just by the way, I'm getting the Renault Clio next week. So we'll talk about that in a little bit of detail.
Yeah, well, we can talk back-to-back after you've had the A200, which is co-developed by Renault. How does Renault feature with the Renault Clio?
Yes, yes. I think that's, from what I hear, it's one of the better cars that Renault has on the road.
No, it definitely is. You'll enjoy that.
Okay, okay. But yeah, from our side, assalamu alaikum. Have an amazing week until next week. And yeah, tune in next week, Friday, same time, 7 o'clock, inshallah. Be safe on the roads, and from myself and Ziad, assalamu alaikum. Madina, Madina, Madina.